do today's reading, I just want to explain something that's going to govern what we're going to do over the next 4 weeks. I've never been to an auction house for an auction in my life, so I decided that I would trot along to the one that's here in Dunfermline on a Monday. It's a Tuesday now, I think it takes place. And really what's in the auction house is people getting rid of things that they don't want mostly, rather than selling things that are of much value. And when I was there, I came across four little plaques. And I went to the auctioneer and said to the auctioneer, how much do you think they're worth? And he had a look at them and kind of sniffed at me and said, not very much. And there were four little plaques, the first of which I've got here. It's been cleaned up quite a bit, I assure you. That must have been in someone's wall. And there were four little pieces of scripture in these little frames. And I thought as I looked at them that they meant something to someone. And now they were simply being discarded. Maybe it was somebody's granny. And the people who were clearing the house kind of thought, ah, well, that's, you know, granny was a Christian and it didn't matter much to us and they're a bit grubby. And who would want to keep these? And yeah, I could see that they were of no value. What I got before indicated that they were absolutely of no value whatsoever. But I wanted to honour the person, and I don't know who it is, who had these four different passages from the Bible. I wanted to honour that person's faith, because obviously it meant something to them. And I wanted us just to tease out what it might mean for us as well. And each one of these flags will be put up in the hall area, the session house, for us to see. And this is a lovely one that was made called I Am the True Man. I Am the True Man. So today's sermon is going to be about that. And over the next 3 weeks, the other three flags that I bought for a whole £5, plus commission, I have to add, are going to be looked at and preached on as well. And I'll introduce you to each one of them as we go along. I'm the true man. John chapter 15, verses 1 to 8 is our reading. I am the true grapevine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit, and he prunes the branches that do bear fruit, so they will produce even more. You've already been pruned and purified by the message I have given you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine, and you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. Yes, I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Anyone who does not remain in me is thrown away like a useless branch and withers. Such branches are gathered into a pile to be burned. But if you remain in me, and my words remain in you, you may ask for anything you want, and it will be granted. When you produce much fruit, you are my true disciples. This brings great glory to my Father. Amen. What's interesting in that passage is that Jesus says he is the true vine. The true vine. Now notice that. If you go back into the Old Testament, you will see that Israel is often described by God as the vine. In other words, this fruitful entity that God was cultivating so that the world would see what God was like. Only, the Jews didn't quite live up to that expectation and failed because they became insular in showing people what God was like. And so Jesus comes and says, and this is where those who heard him say this, something would have clicked. He says, I am the true vine. So you forget about the old thing that belongs to the past. I am the true vine. And my Father is the gardener. So let's have a wee look at what Jesus is trying to say to us. And to kind of grasp the analogy and see how far it can take us. Fiona and I were out in the garden the other day, pruning. Right? And I said to her, hey, why do you think we have to prune? And she was busy, you know, for the wee cuppers, you know, cutting bits off. And there was silence for a wee while. And then she said, because if we didn't prune, these bushes would run white. Bushes would run wild. That's interesting. And that's exactly what would happen to a vine. It is only as fruitful as it is pruned well. And if it's just allowed to run wild, it will increasingly lose its fruitfulness. And so Jesus recognizes that there is a good analogy here for looking at us, him, and our Heavenly Father. And that's the way that I want us to kind of look at it. No fruit, it's useless. Fruit, you've got to trim it, and it becomes more fruitful. In which case, it is beneficial and it is good. So what is it that Jesus begins with here? He begins by stating that in the first place there has to be a living relationship to him. And that that living relationship has to be maintained by us. And that we are responsible for the maintenance of that relationship along with God, who is seen in this as the gardener. There's a difference, and this is where the kind of image breaks down. With the vine is not responsible. The branches are not responsible for their relationship. They're just there and they will grow out of control anyway. But we as branches, as part of the vine, are responsible for how we live our lives. And what Jesus is saying to us is this: we can only live our lives as we should by submitting ourselves to him, remaining in him, and allowing our Heavenly Father to cultivate. And part of that means to prune our lives. So there is, first of all, then, an invitation. The invitation is for us to come to Christ and to remain in him. I had an interesting conversation with the wee guy down in the phone shop. And I took my phone down, and there was a wee, you know how you put these covers over them now, but you have a hammer apparently. I've not tried that, and it stops your phone from cracking. And I had a crack in it. I don't know how that happened, because I'm normally very good with these kind of things. And the shop was empty. And he said to me, "Are you, you're a Christian?" I said, "Yes." He said, "And you're a minister?" I said, "Uh-huh." And he said, and we had this long conversation about religion and faith. And anyway, it turned out that he wasn't a Muslim himself, but he was a Hindu. was married to a Baptist Christian. It's really complicated. Right? He's got an awful lot of Muslim friends, he's a Hindu, and he's married to a Baptist Christian. And he says, I'm confused. He said, I'm confused because my wife's mother won't talk to her because she's never become a Baptist. He said, what is it about all religions that they break up into all these groups? He said, tell me, he said, in a few words, what you think it's all about. And I just said to him, for me, it's all about Jesus. And I didn't want to be smart and go into the history of all the different denominations. Because, you know, at the end of the day, that's truly what it's all about. Forget all the denominations. Forget all the factions. It's either all about Jesus, or what is it all about? And here, in a sense, Jesus kind of highlights that and invites us to respond to that. He says, I am the true vine. Do you want to be part of me? Do you want to be one of my branches? Right? Not like a branch of the Christian faith, but do you want to come to me, come into me, be part of me, and live like me? Come and follow me, he said. Come and be my disciple. That's always the invitation. And there's the beginning point where the wild branches grafted into the vine, and where we then become part of something that is living. But, said Jesus, you've got to remain part of me. You've got to remain part of me. He says, remain in me. Notice, he says it several times, not once. And he says it several times because he knows how vital this truth is. If we remain in him, if we remain in close proximity to him, if our lives are governed by him and his will and his example, and if we take his advice, without me you can do nothing, then it works. Otherwise it doesn't work. So, what then is it that Jesus indicates as the outcome of doing this? Well, you go back to the premise of the garden. And the garden. And I'm looking around my garden. It's jugged up with clay soil. And I'm looking at all these different things that have been planted. And when I see something that is obviously unfruitful or dead, it goes. Right? And I have a plan for the every second week when the men come round that I know which part is going for which week. It's all planned out, right? If it's dead, it goes. What is the point in wasting good soil with dead, useless entities? None. Absolutely none. And, my friends, it's entirely possible for us to be coming to church and for our lives to be predominated by religion and for that religion to be dead and for us to be dead with it. Because it's not about a religion. Religion's a man-made entity. Faith is a living entity whereby our lives are constantly being influenced by a person, not by a tradition. But the second truth here is this. Where our lives are linked to Christ, and where our lives are growing, like the branch is growing out of the vine, it will still need pruned. Otherwise, as Fiona said, it will go wild. it will go out of control. And here is where the wise gardener knows exactly where to prune. I can remember watching a friend of mine who was very much an amateur gardener, and his roses, he decided he had to prune the roses, and he cut them down till there was virtually nothing left of them. And he almost destroyed them. Whereas a good gardener would know where to prune, when to prune, how to prune, in order to get rid of something and make that flourish in the long term. So God looks at our lives with us, and this is of course the difference between the vine in the natural sense, because God looks at our lives with us and sees that unless our lives are pruned, unless certain things, certain attitudes go, then our lives will be out of control. For example, some of us, I wonder, have real anxieties about money. And you know what's interesting is, it's the people with more money who've got the greatest anxiety. And that anxiety continues to the point of selfishness. And where God might come into our lives and say, you know, this needs dealt with, this needs pruned. We need to get rid of this attitude. And he comes and he says, you know what we need to do? You need to get rid of some of that money. You've got too much of it. It's causing you to be less fruitful. It's causing anxiety in your life that does not need to be there. And because of it, you're not trusting me, you're trusting money. You're trusting your wealth rather than me. And that, of course, is where the branch is a choice. And always is a choice. Or there are moral issues in our lives that need sorted, where our lives need pruned, where our lives are out of control. Perhaps that's a temper. Perhaps it's anger. Perhaps it's sexual desire. Who knows what it is? But it needs pruned, or else it will just grow out of control. The branch will always grow. It will always grow. Unless it's pruned. And if our father is the gardener, then we have to go to the gardener. And we have to look over our lives with the gardener. And we have to say to the gardener, help me here. Help me to change. Help me to do what I can't do myself. And that's the pruning process. That's where the branch and the gardener agree on necessary action. And that's where Jesus' reality comes in, where he says, you know, without me, you can do nothing. And you know, sometimes there are times when God comes to us and he gives us a right good rollicking. Oh, God's not like that. He's a nice guy. You know, a loving God cares enough about his children to want to change things that are damaging them, making them less fruitful. Think again about what Paul said about what the fruit of the Spirit is. Love. We need more love. Joy. We certainly need more of that in our lives. Peace. How can we have that if we are not at peace with others? Patience. Rather than anger. Kindness. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. That's the fruit that God wants to see. That's what the gardener is aiming for. That's why he calls us to be part of the vine, because he knows that what flows through Christ can flow through us. But it needs the gardener to do the work as well. It doesn't happen automatically. It's a lifelong thing. In order to make that branch or that church more like Christ. And you know, the great temptation is for us to be more relevant, more like the world, and God is saying to us, no, that's not what I want you to be like. I want you to be like my son. That's what you've been called to do. Remain in me. Quite interesting how effective Alcoholics Anonymous can be. The reason why it's effective is that a group of people agree together the way forward. And they acknowledge that they need one another to do that. That's part of what it means to remain. It means to remain in a group of people with an agreed agenda, and also an acknowledging that without a divine power, they cannot do it. It's a powerful statement, the steps that Alcoholics Anonymous has. You cannot achieve it on your own. And you take that analogy and you see that we cannot be all that we need to be without Christ and one another. We have to remain in each other. And then listen to this. Verse 7. But if you remain in me, and my words remain in you, my teaching is what governs your life, you may ask for anything you want, and it will be granted. In other words, a person who is living in a vital union with Christ will understand Christ. And in understanding Christ, will know instinctively the will of Christ and will ask for things in the sure knowledge that they will be granted. I am the true vine. We are the branches, but we also have a choice of branches. Will we submit ourselves to the gardener, to the will of Jesus, the words of Jesus? Will we allow ourselves to be taken on that journey with him, where there will be a lot of pruning for our own good, but because of that, a lot of fruit too? Or will we be a branch that runs out of control and eventually become fruitless, become so unlike the vine itself that it will need to be completely? May the word of Christ be seen in us, not through what we say, but how we live what we know. May Christ remain in us and we in him. And may we live our lives to honour and bring glory to the Son of God. And may the grace and the mercy and the peace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with and remain with each one of us this day.